This is PCJ Radio International.
Radio Berlin International.
Ici Radio Canada. This is Canada.
This is Radio Nederland, the Dutch Rural Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland.
You're tuned to Swiss Radio International in Bern.
This is Free China as a presentation of the Voice of Free China, the international service of the Broadcasting Corporation of China.
This is Radio Havana, Cuba.
Broadcasting from Cuba, free territory in the Americas.
This is Radio South Africa.
This is Yugoslavia Radio Belgrade calling.
This is Israel broadcasting from Jerusalem.
This is Radio Pyongyang of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
This is the General Overseas Service of the BBC.
Well, hello, friends and listeners, and welcome to the monthly edition of Media Network Plus for this December 2013. As you're probably aware, the monthly edition of the program takes a look at some of the better stories that we aired during the month during the weekly program. Coming up in the second half of the show, we're going to be looking at the lighter side of broadcasting with some fun radio bloopers, and not just from other broadcasters, but including ourselves right here. But to begin, we're going to talk about advertising. Well, a specific type of advertising. Now, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you will see billboards for a wide variety of products, from cars to shops to cosmetics, including airlines. Now, quite often, these billboards can either do one or two things. Either they just stand there with a picture, or they have a rotating billboard, which is actually, it's like a triangle. There's different triangles, and they all kind of rotate, and you see a different ad. Or there are light boxes that are billboards. But one thing, of course, I think that most people can agree on is that, well, they're rather boring to look at. But this has changed. If you go to Piccadilly Circus in the United Kingdom, you will see one of the most interesting billboards that you can ever come across. It's for British Airways. Now, what's unique about this billboard is that it is interactive. Not interactive with the person looking at it, but interactive with the flight flying in the background. You're probably mystified already. Well, to find out a little bit more about how this works, we're now joined by Dan Hensley. Dan, let me ask you, if you and I were standing side by side looking at this billboard and I was wearing a blindfold, what is the best description you can give me on what I would see if I wasn't wearing the blindfold?
Well, you would see an advertising billboard that tracks the aircraft and interrupts the digital display just as it passes over the site, and you would see the billboard reveal the image of a child pointing at the plane overhead, accompanied by its flight number and destination it's arriving from. For example, the screen may read, "It's the BA0234 from Los Angeles." This will then be followed by a message relevant to that flight, in this case, "Fly the new A380 to Los Angeles and other destinations," and it will be accompanied by other information such as the lowest available fare or the temperature in the destination city.
So what you're saying then is there's a child in the ad who starts pointing up towards the sky, and if you're standing in front of this billboard, you actually see that flight in the background flying in the sky?
Exactly.
That's just incredible. I know for myself, if I was watching something like that, I would be captivated and go, "Oh, this is fantastic. This is so interesting."
Yeah, it is interesting, and it's a new way of using what appears to be at least similar to what we call ADS-B, and ADS-B stands for Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast. And what that is it's a way of tracking aircraft so that way the air traffic controller can have an idea where that aircraft is at and what it's doing and what's happening on board that aircraft with the different systems and so on.
So is this something, for example, like this billboard would have a receiver and it would tune, let's say, to a transponder, maybe coming from the airplane or the airport, probably the airplane, and then it would relay that information and put it up on the screen?
Absolutely. And, you know, this technology operates on super high frequency, somewhere between 978 megahertz and 1090 megahertz.
You know, what's interesting about it, you think, because this is, I believe, the first time that something like this was done, the possibilities, especially if you're a media company that sells advertising or works in the advertising industry, the uses for it, it's so amazing, because I've seen the video myself on YouTube. Just go and search, by the way, for British Airways billboard, and you'll get a whole bunch of links. And you think, I mean, this is amazing, and I'm, you know, because this technology is not exactly new, is it?
No, it's actually not. It's been in development and actually in use now for quite some time.
So is this something that from what you found out from British Airways, is this something that they're experimenting with, or is this a new campaign that they're doing?
The idea was conceived by Ogilvy 12th Floor, a group of companies set up by Ogilvy One to handle British Airways' digital and direct marketing.
You know, it's interesting, because one of the other ideas that I thought of, you know, a lot of car companies, let's say like BMW or Volvo, that have billboards in many cities around the world. It'd be an interesting thought that you put a, you know, the cars could have a transponder inside when the car pulls up to the billboard. It says, oh, we have a driver right here who enjoys his BMW or Volvo.
Yeah, and, you know, the interesting thing is that if this is ADS-B technology, then what we do know is that the United States is going to require the majority of the aircraft operating within its airspace to be equipped with some form of ADS-B by January 1st of 2020. And in EU airspace, we know that planes with a weight above 5,700 kilos or 1,300 pounds or a max cruise of over 250 knots will be required to carry ADS-B from 2017, and the newer planes from 2015.
So is this the same technology that, for example, I mean, on my iPhone, I have an app called Flight Tracker, where when I open the app, I can track all flights, basically almost all flights flying in the sky at one time. And it's so accurate. I remember one time going to pick up a friend of mine at the airport, and I opened up my app, and I can see his flight was just about to land in Taiwan, and it was tracking the flight, and you can see the little dot moving, you know, closer to Taipei. Is that basically the same kind of technology?
It's likely a mix of two different technologies. I'm going to guess ADS-B and real-time radar that's being shared, although on a somewhat delayed basis for security and safety reasons relating to the aircraft for obvious purposes.
Dan Hensley, thank you very much for joining us today, and I'm sure that if this kind of system appears somewhere else, I'm sure that we'll do a follow-up story. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Thank you.
Okay, next I'm going to play a piece of music, and I want to see if you can guess where you have heard this before, and if you've ever heard it at all. Well, for many people in the United Kingdom, this is a sign to put the cat out, put the empty bottles by the door, go to bed, read a good book, and then go off into slumberland. This is the theme to the BBC shipping forecast, which has become a bit of a British institution. It airs now on Radio 4 and broadcasts to communities up along the British coast and, of course, to ships sailing the seven seas, or rather the seas around the United Kingdom. Well, to find out more about this very unique British institution, we have this special report from Philip Reeves, who originally produced this story for National Public Radio.
This is a story about a strange institution. The British call this institution a national treasure. It's not a painting, or a palace, or a prince. This treasure is made only of words.
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency.
For many Britons, the shipping forecast is woven into the fabric of life. The routine's the same every night. You finish your cup of tea, put out the cat and lock up, hop into bed, switch on the radio, and serenely drift off to this.
There are warnings of gales in Viking, North Atzira, South Atzira, Forties, Cromarty, Dogger, Fisher, German Bight, Humber.
The British Isles are an archipelago, measuring about 900 miles from top to toe. Plenty of people make a living from the ocean. Wild weather on the high seas matters to them. Yet many more Britons are landlubbers who know nothing of currents and tides. Plenty of them are also devoted listeners.
I definitely don't, you know, have any sort of natural affiliations with the seaside.
Sally Crook is from a farming family in the English county of Wiltshire. Wiltshire is landlocked.
You listen to the shipping forecast?
I do listen to the shipping forecast. Even in London, I listen to the shipping forecast, yes. You know, it is always the same places mentioned in the same order. It is soothing.
Fourth time. Northwest, backing west or southwest, 5 to 7, decreasing 4.
We're a seafaring nation from the very beginning. We're an island country, and so it's all our gateways. It's everywhere that you can come into or leave the United Kingdom. The shipping forecast goes there and tells you what's happening there.
Nick Harkaway is an author and a landlubber and a big shipping forecast fan.
I think maybe for the Brits it's a little bit like a Swiss watch. When you hear the ticking of a Swiss watch, you know that it'll continue to do that in this regular and perfect way forevermore. It's the symbolic British calm, perfectly predicting the sea moving out into the world and so on. It's an identity.
Occasional rain later, good, occasionally poor. White, Portland, Plymouth, northwest, backing southwest later, 5 to 7.
That voice is BBC announcer Arlene Fleming. The BBC's Radio 4 broadcasts 4 shipping forecasts every day. Fleming says it's the forecast in the quiet wee hours after midnight that has an especially mystical quality.
There is a natural rhythm to it, almost a wave, a rhythm, you know, just like the sea. It's wonderful. It's almost like poetry to me. You know, and I've had so many people write in to me and say, you know, I like to listen to you reading it because you've got a lovely rhythm to it. And I say I always think it is a poetical work. Lundy, Fastnet, Irish Sea, Shannon, northwest, backing west or southwest. I've had a few Valentine's cards about the shipping forecast and things from anonymous people, which is very nice.
Valentine's to you?
To me, about the shipping forecast.
Saying how much they love.
Yes, indeed. Well, there was one just saying he'd gone to sleep listening to the shipping forecast, and he awoke listening to it, thought he'd died and gone to heaven. A bit over the top, but how lovely. 5 to 7, increasing 7 to severe gale 9.
The shipping forecast covers 31 sea areas. That's a huge expanse of water.
They extend all the way up to the furthest one is probably southeast Iceland. That's the furthest northwest. And then we've got another area right down in the far south called Trafalgar, which goes all the way right down to North Africa.
Alistair McCarty of Britain's Met Office says that you can get the forecast these days on sat-nav, mobile phone and the internet. Yet seafarers still often tune in to the BBC.
There's actually a particular piece of music which goes out called Sailing By. The reason behind using the music is an identifier for people tuning in on long wave. If they're out in the vessel out on a wild windy night, say in the middle of the North Sea, then they can tune in. If they hear that music, then they know they've actually got the right frequency and they can listen to the shipping forecast.
Back in their beds, Britain's landlubbers slide off to sleep to that same music. So ingrained is sailing by in the lives of some that they choose it in death too, to be played at their funerals.
It's not an unusual request, which again is another way of sort of strengthening this hold which apparently the forecast has on so many people that they even want it played after they're gone.
Peter Jefferson was, for decades, the voice of Britain's shipping forecast. He read the forecast on the radio for 40 years, then wrote a book about it. He remembers when the BBC decided to change the time of the nightly forecast by just 12 minutes. There were demonstrations outside the BBC's London headquarters.
And there were people even marching outside Broadcasting House. I mean, it was that that intense. With banners, it was quite an amazing sight, really.
The plan eventually had to be scrapped. The shipping forecast is not always taken so seriously, though. The Brits also find it funny.
South at Zero, North at Zero, Sheerness, Foulness, Elliotness.
The weird and exotic names of the shipping areas seems to appeal to a British sense of the absurd, and therefore to humorist Stephen Fry.
If you will, often, eminent, 447, 22 yards, touchdown, stupidly.
Nick Harkaway, the writer, recently tried his hand at a spoof and posted it on his website. It went down rather well on Twitter.
Lloyd Harriet, Papal, Embuscades, Sheepcroft, 4. Overall, there will be some nostalgia fading later into tourism before midnight. There is no prospect of rain.
British musicians have also drawn inspiration from the shipping forecast, says Jefferson.
There's something here from Blur's album, which is called Park Life, and the lyric from a track entitled This Is a Low, referring to, you know, a low weather system. Into the sea goes pretty England and me, around the Bay of Biscay and back for tea. Hit traffic on the Dogger Bank, up the Thames to find a taxi rank. Sail on by with the tide and go to sleep, but the radio says, this is a low, but it won't hurt you. This is a low.
No artist, though, has captured the baffling, mystical appeal of the shipping forecast. Quite like this man.
Dogger, Rockall, Malin, Irish Sea.
The late Seamus Heaney, the poet from neighbouring Ireland.
Green swift upsurges, North Atlantic flux, conjured by that strong gale warning voice, collapse into a sibilant penumbra. Midnight and closed on.
Moderate or good, becoming moderate or poor. And that's the end of the shipping forecast.
Philip Reeves, NPR News.
And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. If you want to contact us to let us know what you think of the program or have any story ideas, our email address is very simple, mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can listen to this program again, as well as all past editions, including the weekly 30-minute edition, by visiting our website, pcjmedia.com/media-network-plus. Well, you know what? It's that time of the year where we decided to sit back, have a little bit of a laugh, and look at the lighter side of broadcasting.
Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son. But be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. You could study Shakespeare and be quite elite, and you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My grandpa said go out and tell 'em a joke, but give it plenty of hope. Make 'em roar, make 'em scream. Take a fall, but a wall split a seam. You start off by pretending you're a dancer with grace. You wiggle till they're giggling all over the place. And then you get a great big custard pie in the face. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh.
Donald O'Connor from the classic MGM musical Singing in the Rain. Now, for those who've never seen this movie, it's something that I would suggest you go and rent. Because the movie itself talks about the early days of sound films in Hollywood, where there were all kinds of technical glitches. Either microphones in wrong places, where they're picking up a heartbeat, or they're talking through, it sounds like they're talking through a mine shaft and picking up all kinds of strange sounds and overdubbing a voice where the person's voice actually sounds rather horrible. So they have somebody else doing the singing and speaking, which, by the way, wasn't uncommon. There was a very famous Hollywood actor by the name of John Gilbert, who in the 1920s was one of the biggest stars. After he made his sound debut, well, that was the end of his career. So it's a fun movie to go and watch. Today we're looking at the lighter side of broadcasting. We've compiled some clips together. Some, I have to say, are rather naughty. But nevertheless, a lot of fun to listen to. There's also some from this program as well. So you can hear the challenges sometimes that we have recording stuff. But first, let's talk about scripts. Scripts for a newsreader, of course, are very important. And usually you'll have a cue on the sheet announcing some type of clip. So you have one script. Usually the technician will have another. But what they have in the computer system for sound clips could be something completely different, as Monty Python would say, and then you end up with a clip that shouldn't be airing where it does. And when that happens, this is how it sounds.
John Myers, thanks very much indeed. It's 12:37. This is the Midday News on 5 Live. Yet another prison has been condemned for its poor conditions and treatment of inmates. The Chief Inspector of Prisons, Anne Owers, has called Dartmoor as bad as Camp X-Ray, with inmates being caged, degraded and abused. But the prison service manager in the southwest, Jerry Petherick, says they're starting to make changes. I'm sorry, that was clearly the wrong cue, the wrong audio. I do apologise, but there are some good prisons. Juliet Lyon is the director of...
I should mention that what just happened right now is something that's, well, more common than you may think. Our next clip is something that happened to me. Well, let me rephrase that. It's something that I caused to another newsreader. Going back to 1991... or 1990, I should say, I was freelancing for Radio Canada International. I was covering a story, and the producer of the show that followed the news said, look, I want you to call in live with your report. And I said, okay, fine. So they gave me a phone number. I found a call box, and at the right time, I called up. Well, the only thing I heard was somebody talking in the background, and then the phone hanging up. And I thought, well, maybe I dialed it incorrectly. I then dialed the number again, and I heard the phone pick up after two rings, then put down on a desk, somebody talking, as I was saying, hello, is anybody there, hello, and then the phone hung up again. And I thought, well, that was the news from Radio Canada International, maybe there was something wrong with the line, so I called back a third time. This time, I heard the line go dead after two rings. Well, eventually, I did get through. It wasn't until the day later, when I was walking on the third floor of Radio Canada International, I ran into Ian McFarland. The first thing Ian said to me after hello was, you ruined my newscast. And I was kind of wondering what he meant by that, and he said, go listen to the tape. So I went down to the master control room, listened to the logger tape from that day. Well, what had happened was the technician had left the phone in the studio. And it was going on air as I was calling up, including me yelling into the phone, hello, hello, hello. The final time the microphone went off, as Ian McFarlane decided to switch it off, there was about 10-second silence, and then all of a sudden he says, nobody else will interrupt my newscast today. Well, of course, this is something that does happen. Now, one thing you should remember if you work in radio, if you bring your phone into the studio, always turn off the ringer. Or just, you know what, better thing, leave it outside. Because something like this can happen.
BBC Radio 4, the news at 8 o'clock. The chairman of the Commons Committee investigating BBC allegations that the government exaggerated its evidence over Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction has accused the reporter involved, Andrew Gilligan, Apologise for this. Somebody's left their telephone in the studio. So sorry. I'll start again. The chairman of the Commons Committee investigating...
Now, getting back to what I was just talking about a moment ago, about being prepared. It does happen when you have a correspondent on the scene. They're giving you a description of what's going on and what people are saying. But what you have to remember is sometimes the person in the studio at the broadcast center may think that you have a guest who is ready to speak. But guess what? They say, we want to hear from somebody, and there's nobody nearby. And that could be rather embarrassing, not just for the person in the studio, but also for the person on the street.
This is too precarious. It isn't giving them the stability that they're used to, certainly in the French system, which, you know, where you have a job for life and the social security system looks after you, you know, until your elder years. And they're saying that this just certainly simply isn't good enough. And it's slave labour, they say, by the back door. And we've seen a lot of signs and slogans and banners to that effect today.
Have you got a student there that we can talk to? Very sorry, I think we might have heard something there we weren't supposed to hear.
Well, that is a bit of an understatement. There is something there that shouldn't have been aired. You can use your imagination on that one. Now, when reading the news, like I said earlier, you really need to be prepared. One thing that you should never do is throw away script that you will possibly still need.
From retaining his seat in the House of Lords.
You're actually not going to believe this, but I have just lost the rest of my news bulletin, which is... I think I may have thrown it in the bin. I do beg your pardon. Nope. I'm so sorry, this is completely unprofessional. I have got loads of papers in front of me. But that's my... Right, I now have found it. I'm so sorry about that.
The other thing that's very important during a live program is making sure you know what you're talking about. Because you can have guests there and you say something... And then nobody has an idea of what you're talking about or what you just said. And that even sounds funnier.
I was just thinking, Nikki, comparing the two cities, how does Milan strike you?
Milan? Oh, well, I'm in Athens.
Sorry, what am I talking about? I've gone completely gaga.
But there are similarities.
In that you don't understand what anybody's saying there, Milan, or in fact here.
Milan and Liverpool, there are similarities. Milan is a chic... fashion capital of the world, full of beautiful people.
Yeah.
And Liverpool is...
As well.
Steady. As well, yes.
Well,
that's
I was
right.
Just... Do you know, I've just had a complete mental breakdown for a
it's
moment.
It's all right. You're just
thought you were in Milan.
You're overcome with red mist
I'm
this morning.
I'm overcome with emotion.
Or how about this one, where this person thinks that Al-Qaeda is a man?
Well, I'm listening to the girls and I can see how you both feel, but I think Al-Qaeda is a lethally dangerous man. And I think that he would go for the Prince big time. So I have to think, could Prince Harry do something else towards this war than actually be out there? Because I think, you know, I think they'd be out to kill him. So I think Qaeda needs to be found and buried forever, so to speak.
Now, I think that person needs a lesson. Very odd indeed. Now, the other thing that does happen, especially on radio, and also happens quite frequently on television, is you can have a guest, and maybe they have an accent. It could be from Scotland. And this is, of course, no offense to anybody who's Scottish. Well, not much of anyone, anyway. But it does happen, of course, that they could have an accent, and maybe the pronunciation of a word ends up sounding... like something else. Now, the correct word is current. Current, okay? But it sounds like another word that also begins with C and has four letters. Use your imagination on this one. If you don't figure it out, I'm certainly not going to tell you.
You can actually work out whether it's likely to be poisonous or not. When we were in Tibet, we came across what was obviously to us a black cat. Now, the locals knew gooseberry-like things and red cat-like things, but they'd never seen a black cat-like things.
Yeah.
So the locals were very wary, and we just stuffed ourselves.
They wouldn't eat it.
Because we knew that any currant, like any bramble-type plant, is edible. So if you know that, you don't usually make...
The only thing I will say is, yes. One of my favourite things about listening to a live news bulletin is, well, sometimes the editor will put a funny story in front of a very serious story, which is not a wise thing to do, because Well, this is what can happen.
The news at 11 o'clock. This is John Marsh. Safety campaigners have repeated their warnings about the dangers of fireworks after a prankster tried to launch a powerful rocket from his backside. The 22-year-old man suffered serious internal injuries when the Black Cat Thunderbolt rocket ignited during the bonfire night stunt at Monk Wearmouth in Sunderland. Education officials in Pakistan got a surprise when they went to inspect a school near Hyderabad. Instead of classes of pupils, they found only chickens. The authorities say it appears to have been used as a poultry production centre for the last 12 years. That's the news. Not a moment before time.
Do John, I have more? Stop it!
That's 12 o'clock.
You're killing us, John. Stop it, please. Well, no, go home now. You've done enough.
American historians have discovered what they think is the earliest recording of the human voice, made on a device which scratched sound waves onto paper blackened by smoke. It was made in 1860, 17 years before Thomas Edison first demonstrated the gramophone, and featured an excerpt from a French song, Au clair de la lune. The award-winning screenwriter Abby Mann has died at the age of 80. He won an Academy Award in 1961 for Judgment at Nuremberg. Abby Mann also won several Emmys, including one in 1973 for a film which featured a police detective called Kim Kerchak. The character on whom a long-running TV series was eventually based.
It's 10 minutes past 8. Fighting between Shia militias and Iraqi government forces.
And now time for one of my all-time favorite radio bloopers. There's a very famous program that airs on the CBC in Canada called As It Happens. In the 1970s, Barbara Frum was one of the hosts of the programs. Now, back then, the show was done live. Now, like many things in the 1970s, when you were making international phone calls, well, sound quality was not always something that you can count on. Now, what happens when you take the sound quality of a poor international phone line and somebody who's hard of hearing and... well, they just grew the largest cabbage in the world. It was a bit of a kicker story that they did on the program. Now, this is a clip that was floating around the CBC for many years because it was broadcast live and went on for about 3 minutes. And almost everybody in the CBC newsroom in Toronto and also in Montreal and even at Radio Canada International had a copy of this classic recording.
How big is big in a cabbage?
It is 5 foot... across the top, you know, and it was
5 foot.
Huh? 5 foot from across from one leaf to the other, you know, across the top, 5 feet wide.
So if you measure around the circumference.
No, straight across.
You mean if you cut it in half, it'd be 5 feet across?
Pardon?
If you cut it in half.
Aye.
Would it be 5 foot across?
Pardon?
Hello.
Hello?
If you stand up next to your cabbage, where does she come to on you?
Up to my breast.
No kidding. You could roll that down a hill and kill somebody.
Huh?
You could roll that cabbage down a hill and it would kill somebody.
Pardon?
Have you cut it yet?
I dismantled it, anyway. Leaves off it, you know. But there are plenty more of the same thing.
How did you dismantle it?
Pardon?
Mr. McLaughlin?
Hello?
How did you dismantle it?
I pulled the leaves off it and I cut it down in parts. There's a big heart in the center, you see. And the heart was about 30 pound weight or 40 pound weight, you know.
Mr. McLaughlin, what do you feed your cabbage?
Pardon?
What did you feed your cabbage?
I don't hear you, please. What did you say there?
Mr. McLaughlin, I haven't got the strength for you today. I'm sorry. Why don't we call you on Monday?
I'm even working Monday.
You're working Monday.
You gotta come over to see it.
What did you feed the goddamn cabbage? You didn't hear that either, I suppose. What did you feed the goddamn cabbage?
I'm sending you a picture of it.
I don't want a picture of it.
Yeah.
I just want to know what you fed it.
Huh? Pardon?
I want to know what you fed it.
Hey, I fed it?
Yes.
I'm trying to talk to it.
Say it again.
I talked to it in Gaelic.
I know you talked to it in Gaelic, but you must have fertilized it or something.
No. I just talk to it every day.
I hope the cabbage's hearing is better than yours.
Pardon?
I hope the cabbage's hearing is better than yours.
Do you want to send me a picture of it?
Why not? Sure. Mr. McLaughlin?
Hello?
Bye.
Absolute classic. Barbara Frum interviewing a farmer in the United Kingdom who grew the largest cabbage. Well, combining the cabbage, a very bad phone line, and problems with hearing, well, it was obviously radio gold. Now, something that I do, if I'm not going to be around, but there's a program that I want to hear, is I'll set up my timer and have the program recorded, then listen to it when I come back. Now, this was the case, actually, with a special discussion that was on the BBC World Service. Well, I got back that evening and transferred the file to my iPod and was listening to it in the car as I was driving off somewhere else. And I couldn't believe what I heard. And I should mention it was a one-hour show. Now, this was exactly what was broadcast.
Why did Britain have the Glorious Revolution in 1688 and not Spain? Because surely to the people that lived in Spain, the coercive and arbitrary intervention of authority was equally. Is there a general rule for institutional formation, or do we have to sort of resort to a rather unsatisfying combination of contingent historical factors? I think there's nothing unsatisfying about it.
Yes, now we just heard what happened, and it didn't just happen once. It happened again.
The bring fine, expensive and perpetual. Huh?
Right. I think that's an even bigger problem in the United States than here. In the United States is such that one can say they no longer have the rule of law there.
Well, something certainly wasn't working right that night. And I thought that perhaps it was my digital recorder, but no, a lot of other people heard exactly the same thing. So there was something obviously wrong with the computer that night. Now, words. Something that you kind of have to watch out for, because the word could have a totally innocent meaning, but sometimes there's a lot of double entendre involved. Now, this is from a BBC regional program, and I don't know how the presenter kept doing this and saying this, keeping a straight face.
Hello, Clive Connor here with Music and Memories. Our theme for this week is Come, spelt C-O-M-E. But to start the program, we have an entirely different spelling of that word, because it's Tommy Handley singing Come, Pretty One, Come.
Well, I can tell you one thing. If I was the one presenting that program, I would certainly not be able to keep a straight face. Those who listen to PCJ Radio International know that sometimes we like to do little parodies. Now, there was one that we did, I think, approximately 2 years ago, where we created a radio show of what it would sound like if we brought together Ian McFarlane, Jonathan Marks, Victor Gunatelica, Arnie Coro, and Glenn Hauser. Now, we had a song that we featured in that that a number of you wanted to hear again. So here it is. It's our little parody of Glenn Hauser, host of World of Radio, and Mr. Charlie Oscar 2 Kilo Kilo, Arnie Kodal, singing a song together. Yes, they fight all the time, but they put their differences aside to sing this number. Here they are doing Cuban Pete.
Come on, Glenn, let us put our differences aside. No more nitpicking. Let's do this song together, okay?
Okay, Arnie. I'll try my best. I have no rhythm.
Don't underestimate yourself, Glenn. Here we go. They call me Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the rumba beat. When I play my maracas, I go chick-chicky-boom, chick-chicky-boom. Yes, sir, I'm Cuban Pete. Arnie Kodal is my name. And I go and I dance and I chick-chicky-boom, chicky-boom, chicky-boom. Glenn, to you.
Okay. I'm excited. It's true. With Arnie Kodal, we are one but two. We have our differences, but it doesn't matter. We all care about the same thing. I'm Mr. Glenn Hauser, and Arnie Kodal's my thing.
Ha! You see, Glenn, it is very simple. Yeah. Chicky boom, chicky boom, chicky boom. Boom, chicky boom, chicky boom, ba boom, boom, ba doom. My name is Arnie Kodal. I'm your friend in Havana. My name is Arnie Kodal. Charlie Oscar 2 Kilo Kilo. Ha ha!
Arnie, should be my turn next. I really want to sing another part of the song. I'm getting very excited. Let's cha-cha. Oh-ho. Ha-ha. Yes, oh yes. Ha-ha. Hee-hee. Ho-ho. Ha-ha-ha.
Okay, Glenn, let's just swing it. Ha-ha-ha. Chicky-boom, 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 chicky-boom.
Well, that's how we think a duet would sound between Arnie Kodal, host of DXers Unlimited on Radio Havana, Cuba, and Glenn Hauser, host and producer of World of Radio. And by the way, if either of them are listening right now, it's certainly not meant to be offensive or anything. It was just a bit of a giggle, and I hope that you had a giggle out of it as well. Now, this program itself has had its share of bloopers. How many of you remember this one? Yes, hello. I wish to speak to Mr. Bruno Barth.
Oh, so if he is here at the Center of Radio and Energy Technologies from the historical radio station Nauen. My name is René Schulze. I know RBI Radio Berlin International is a partner of us. RBI have found the association.
So, this is not Bruno Barth who I'm speaking to then.
Bruno Barth was the founder of Radio Berlin International, and his work is closed. Radio Berlin International is a new part of the association Center of Radio and Energy Technologies, Nauen. That's the big transmitter station. Nauen is the big transmitter station where RBI was in the historical have transmitted this program, and in the future will be RBI transmit a new program over shortwave. And Bruno Barth was the founder. Bruno Barth is an old, very old man from RBI, and his last work was the founding of an association with the name Center of Radio and Energy Technologies, Nauen.
Okay, then. Well, thank you very much.
Very nice. You can see at Facebook if you want.
We did try looking at it, but unfortunately we can no longer access it. The same way with the YouTube channel and the Blogspot blog as well.
It's correct. The RBI Radio Berlin International information on the internet is closed since 2 days because the work was to inform all people worldwide to say RBI is back, is coming back to shortwave and with a new program. And the work was to found the association, and in this association is RBI a part. And many people have received information, and on Facebook, Twitter and YouTube you can see under the name ZFI Nauen or Zentrum Funk Energie, and you can see this. If you go in Google, or if you go, you know, that's better. You go to YouTube and you give in the YouTube search window the word Radio Berlin International. And then you see a channel, and the name of the channel is ZFE, Zentrum Funk Energietechnik. And there you can get in contact.
Some of you may know that there was this rumor going out online about Radio Berlin International coming back. There were websites, blogs, and all kinds of information being sent out. Well, we first interviewed Bruno Barth, and then we wanted to do an update. So we called back the same number, and the same person who was Bruno Barth before became René Schulzer. And we even checked the address that was given in Berlin. And there was an old woman living at the address who was tired of letters coming for Radio Berlin International. Well, after we ran that story, guess what happened? All those blogs went down, and that was it. Never heard anything again. Now, this is usually the point of the program where I say we're going to turn to propagation. Well, we're not doing a propagation forecast this week, but we are going to have Dan, because sometimes the strangest things happen when we give him a call. Now, the other airport in Chicago is Midway. Do they carry the same service?
Yes. Chicago here, ORD, and Midway MDW do carry the same service.
Wait. If you're wondering what that noise was, that was a train. I remember when we did that interview, I think we had to stop and start. It must have been about 5 or 6 different times. Well, we're certainly not going to call him back during rush hour period. Now, this is an edited version of a conversation that we recently had. Now, usually when we talk, we do it over Skype, but sometimes Skype does some very strange things. He can hear me, I can't hear him, the line keeps breaking up, and it really took a lot longer to record than was intended. Oh, it's even worse because now I'm hearing my echo back. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, let me hang up and I'll call you back. I don't tell me you have to do this. I'll call you back and you can answer that the final question, okay?
I gotcha.
All right.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You know what? Let's hang up. You try calling me.
Okay, no.
Hello?
Hello.
All right, there we go. Okay, so just answer the final question.
Okay, and that would be...
Oh, wait a second. I was getting so frustrated, I just threw it away. Wait a second. It's over. Wait. Wait. I threw the whole thing away. Okay, now here it is. Yes. Okay, my question, Dan, was, is it the... We did have another recording that we were planning to use, but I think we'll save it to next year. So the only thing I will say now, it has to do with croaking frogs. And if you want to find out what that is, well, you'll have to tune in 2014... in December, so in about a year's time. Before we end off today, I just want to tell you about the extended schedule that we have for December 29th. Now, some of you are listening to this program after the 29th, so you don't have to pay any attention to what I'm going to say next. But in case you are listening to this on the 28th, I just want to tell you about the extended schedule that we have on December the 29th for our year-end program. which is the following. To Southeast and East Asia, our usual frequency of 9335 kilohertz. We've extended this to Europe on 5995 kilohertz, and also to North America on 11880 kilohertz. So we'll be issuing a special QSL for the broadcast on December the 29th, which is tomorrow in some cases, or it actually just happened yesterday. And the difference, of course, with that program is that it is our annual PCJ New Year's program, which is not airing on New Year's Eve like it has been doing, but instead on the Sunday. And we're going to be calling up listeners around the world, and the program actually will be done live. So if you are online on Facebook and you send us a message, leave us your phone number and we can call you up during the program. So once again, December the 29th, the program will be live to Europe on 5995 kilohertz, to Southeast and East Asia from Trincomalee, our usual transmitter site, on 9335 kilohertz, and to North America on 11880 kilohertz, which, by the way, is from Okeechobee, the new site for Radio Miami International. The power of these, by the way, from Okeechobee is 100 kilowatts from Southeast Asia, from Trincomalee, it's 125. And for Europe, we're using Nauen, running at 125 kilowatts. Now, those who may not know this, but Nauen was one of the old sites for Radio Berlin International. So perhaps our good friend Bruno Barth, or René Schulzer, might be there tuning in, if he is. When we ran originally that interview, by the way, that we just mentioned a moment ago about RBI returning, somebody made a comment, said, this is more like Private Schultz from Hogan's Heroes. And you know what? I have to agree with you on that one. It certainly is. Now, before we end off, I just want to tell you again how the different ways you can get in touch with us. First, by email, which is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can also send us a message via Facebook. Just do a search for PCJ Media, PCJ Radio. And if you want to receive our QSL card for this program or any of the other programs that you hear on HF from PCJ, our postal address is PCJ Radio International, 8th floor, number 47, Lane 31, Sanmin Road. That's Sanmin Road, Section 1, New Taipei City, Banqiao, Banciao, Taiwan 22070, and that is in the ROC. If you didn't have time to write that down, don't worry. You can find that information at our website, pcjmedia.com, along with this program, if you would like to hear it again, if you're crazy enough to hear it again, including the weekly edition that you can find there as well. Anyway, that's all we have time for. So on behalf of the whole team, this is Keith Perrault wishing you well. We'll see you in the new year. And well, that's it. That's really all I need to say right now. So until next time, so long, take care. 73 and 88 to the ladies. And of course, Happy New Year.